Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, breaking news, the King has given the royal stamp of approval to the Renters Rights Bill. There's been talk of this for ages. It is now law. We're going to be discussing what does that mean for you as a landlord or you as a tenant? How will it affect you? What are the changes? When's it going to happen? And everything you need to know about the Renters Rights Bill. So, interesting episode.
Yes, very interesting. I mean, the big question is then, so when does it come in?
Well, that's a great question, because I spoke to someone the other day and they were like, we signed a two-year contract of our landlord. That's no longer applicable. And I'm like, no, it actually is. So a few big caveats here.
Yeah.
First thing is, there's still not actually a date when this, although it's now law, it's not yet been implemented.
Yeah.
So we know it's coming. It's been approved. It's all this stuff we're going to go through today. This is happening.
But it's not like right from this very second. Yeah.
It's not happened yet. That's the first thing. So when is it going to be? At some point in 2026.
Yeah.
We don't know when. And it might be that they come in stages. So that's the first thing to note. Second thing to note that I think is pretty important as well is that this is only going to be on new tenancies. So if you're already a tenant or if you're a landlord and you've already got tenants in, it doesn't like affect those because they've already signed a contract.
Yeah, they're not every contract changes.
Yes.
Like they're not all void, the contracts, but yeah, anything moving forward from... But so they haven't announced a date.
No.
In all these. So what if people went out tomorrow and signed contracts?
You'd be on this old rule. So this is being phased in over time. So that's really important to know because if you've already got tenants in and stuff... All the old stuff still applies. All right, so here we go. The big one that we all knew was coming, there's all talked about, was Section 21 is gone, okay? And now all tenancies become periodic. So like we just talked about a two-year contract, that wouldn't happen anymore. So tenants have literally got the right to move out kind of whenever they want. It's rolling. They can actually leave with just 2 months' notice when they first move in. So they could literally move in and just give 2 months' notice immediately.
So they basically can use properties almost like long Airbnbs if they could be bothered to go through the rigmarole. But do you know what I mean?
That is an interesting point, actually. Yeah.
Like so if you were going on holiday for 2 months somewhere, you actually could sign a contract and have that.
You could. You could.
It would be much cheaper than paying nightly rates on Airbnb.
Yeah. You just move in and hand your notice in immediately.
Yeah.
You could like move there for the summer.
Yeah, you could. Like a lot of people take trips for like 2 months over the summer.
Yeah.
Lots of people in Dubai move out for 2 months. Oh, genius. Just go to England.
Go to England for the summer. Yeah, if you move to Dubai, avoid all your taxes.
Yeah.
Come back to England for the summer to avoid the Dubai heat.
Yeah, just sign a tenancy. Hand in your notice the day you move in.
Yeah.
You've got a very cheap rental compared to nightly rates of Airbnb, it would be very cheap.
What do you actually, as someone, just a quick disclaimer as well, I mean, we rented most of our adult life.
Yeah.
We've been both a landlord and a tenant at the same time.
Yeah.
Which means that we can really fairly kind of look at this.
Relate to both sides.
So I'm not like, not all this stuff, like a lot of landlords are looking at all of it, like, but I'm like, oh, I quite like that rule, I quite like this rule. I actually quite like this rule. Yeah. I know that it kind of kills the security in a way, I suppose, for a landlord. But 2 months is quite a lot of time to relet your property if they want to move out. And at the end of I think your circumstances do change.
Yeah.
We've been like stuck a few times where we've rented somewhere and then for whatever reasons our circumstances have changed, we wanted to move, we moved down here, we had it. Luckily for us, when we moved down here, the landlord insisted on a 6 month break that we didn't want.
And he didn't then want to use, but we used.
Yeah, and we utilized it. But we've had houses here where we've been paying rent on two houses at the same time because we've wanted to move.
Yeah.
And now we're stuck in a contract.
I agree. And I was, you know, I'm joking about Airbnb instead of Airbnb, but who's really going to do that? How many people actually go on holiday for 2 months? Yeah, the odd person might do that. But in reality, moving is a faff. Like, no one really is going to... Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's going to change much what tenants actually do. I mean, we've moved more than most people.
Yeah, and in reality, you were talking about it. Like, can you imagine doing that for 2 months, setting up all the bills in your name, yeah, and then, having to pay the council tax? It's actually not worth it, is it?
No, it's not. It's not worth the hassle to save the extra bit of money you might save in the rate difference.
No.
But, and I think realistically, I don't think people even plan to move for much less than a year. So I think you might get unlucky and one time someone moves in and then their circumstances change and yes, they use this and they move out. But I don't think it's suddenly going to be like, flipping out, look at everyone go now, moving every 2 months. Because like you say, there's loads that come along, just loads of stuff that comes along with moving. And I don't think it's going to make that much difference. But where it really benefits the tenants is, do you know when you've signed a year and you stay and then they were trying to get you on another year? I think that is when it's like annoying to sometimes have to plan for a whole year for people's jobs. And then I think people have the right to, if they need to go, they need to go, don't they? And they shouldn't be made to pay a whole lot. But I need to go now and I've got to pay 9 months.
I agree. I mean, I could argue both ways. Because you could argue, how come as a landlord that's renting my home to someone, I mean, a home is a big deal. How come I've only got 2 months and a mobile phone contract is 2 years?
Yeah.
Or a car is 3 years? Like, so I could argue both ways. But overall, I actually am not, because you can very easily rent it out again. You've got 2 months notice. I'm not particularly bothered about that. So that's the first thing, is periodic. The other thing is Section 21, just mentioned, is now gone. Now, again, on paper, this sounds decent. So Section 21 is no fault evictions.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why should you have, why do you, should you need no fault? If the tenant's done nothing wrong, why should you be evicting them?
Yeah.
The reason is because the other option, which is a Section 8, involves going to court.
Yeah.
And who wants to go to court to prove that your tenant is a pain in the ass?
Yeah, no. And at the moment, the court systems, I mean, that isn't like, oh, well, I'll go down the local court in a next week. You're talking months and months and months. That's the problem with it, is it's not going to court's one of the problems, but it's not going to be in any kind of reasonable timescale, is it? It's going to be, oh, well, see you next year.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? That I feel like that's a bit unfair.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, to be fair, they've updated a Section 8 so that there's more grounds that, and we'll go through them all in a minute.
Yeah.
But there's more grounds that you can evict them on. And to be fair, they're not all fault. For example, if you want to move back in, you can evict them under a Section 8.
Which you should be allowed to.
Yeah,
because a lot of people rent out houses because they're moving away for 2 years. Like, you kind of, at the end of the day, if you're the one that's invested in the property, put the money in the property, you have the right to move back into the property, don't you?
Yeah.
The tenant shouldn't have the right to just be like, well, unlucky. Otherwise, you're going to have a real conflict of people not wanting to rent the houses out. Like, and then the problem with the housing shortage is going to get worse.
Yeah.
Because people are going to think, nah, forget it. I'm only going away for a year. I'll either just let family members move in or... Do you know what I mean?
Well, should we look at some of the grounds
that you're
allowed? Right. So here are some of the grounds. So this is how the reasons that you can evict a tenant under a Section 8, the no fault eviction is now gone. So number one is you want to move back in, either you or your family.
Okay.
So if you, let's say, for example, we put a tenant in here and then we were like, you know, we want to rent it to my mom.
Yeah.
We could evict them to move our family in.
Cool.
And that is mandatory. So the court, even though you've got to go to court, if you can prove that you actually are moving back in.
Yeah, it's just like.
It's not like at their discretion.
Yeah.
It's, they have to do it. And it's 4 months notice you've got to give for this. Yeah. And it can't be in the first 12 months. So the tenant is protected for 12 months.
Yeah.
And then you've got to give them 4 months notice. So I think, for me, that's quite fair.
Yeah.
Because it would be taking the pee a little bit to move someone into your property and then 3 months later to go, I'm giving you 4 months notice.
Also, I think the 4 months notice, I know it seems a bit unfair. How come they only have to give 2 months? But we have to, if you want people out, you have to give 4 months. But to be fair, seeing it from the tenant's point, imagine if we settled here, kids are in school, your whole life set up here, and then someone's like, oh, next month you've got to get out, bye. Like, literally could lead you to having to move your kid to school.
I think it's fair.
I think 4 months is kind of...
I like that rule.
I think that's fair.
Next, this is grounds 1A.
Yeah.
Is if you want to sell the property.
Yeah.
Well, and it's basically the same. Yeah. 4 months notice, not in the first 12 months.
Yeah.
Fine. Next is a section 8. So this is for serious arrears.
Yeah.
Now, they have actually changed this slightly. There is, you could do it right now, but they've actually, currently, a ground 8 is 2 months arrears. So if they're in 2 months of arrears, you can kick them out on a ground 8.
Yeah.
That is rising to 3 months, 13 weeks if weekly or fortnightly. So they've got to be 3 months behind for it to count as serious arrears.
Yeah, I'm not, I think that's being too generous. It's like, just pay rent or you should get kicked out.
I agree. I saw an interesting thing. I saw a mortgage broker and he was saying that if you're a landlord and you're paying your mortgage payments, if you're late, even by a couple of days, they can put a black mark against you and it makes it very difficult to refinance. Literally a couple of days late.
See, now that feels too extreme the other way. Like, I think a month for accidents, because to be honest, we have accidentally not paid our rent when we first moved into a property, and we thought the estate, the letting agent, had, because we'd put all our bank details in, I assumed they had set it up, the direct debit, and I didn't realise that I was meant to set it up. And it did go like 5-10 days over, and then I suddenly got all these messages, and obviously they were probably panicking because it was the first month as well, and they're like, oh my life, we've put tenants in who aren't paying. And they were like, oh, you haven't paid. So we quickly set it up. So imagine if we had got kicked out.
Yeah.
That would have been a blacklisting.
But here's what happened.
That would have been really harsh.
Here's what happens to landlords though, right? So a lot of landlords have a separate bank account, like a business bank account for the property, right? So what they do is they'll have the rent coming in and then they'll have the mortgage going out.
Yeah.
So let's say the rent comes in on the 28th, then they might say, oh, we're going to pay the rent on the 29th. Tenant doesn't pay.
Yeah.
No punishment for the tenant. No issue. No problem. But then there... payment bounces because it's in their separate bank account and now they get a black mark against them. And it's like, how come there's different rules for homeowners and tenants?
Yeah. It does tend to favour tenants, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To be honest, which is a bit annoying because obviously being both tenants and landlords, I think, I do think they favour tenants and I think that's a bit far. And I think 3 months... that's not, an accident. That's just someone not paying their rent.
Yeah. Now, here's another big thing, right? So I'll explain this. That's a ground 8. It's where you need to know the laws. You need to know the rules. Because if you've got a problem with your tenant, you need to get this right.
Yeah.
There's also grounds 10 and 11. And they are for either some arrears, but not 3 months arrears.
Yeah.
Or persistently paying late. So let's say what we just said we did. Imagine if your tenant did that every month.
And you're always having to chase them. And they always pay, but it's like always 8 days late and you have to spend, you know...
Every month you're chasing them for it, right? So they're never a month behind. They're never more than 2 weeks behind, but they're just persistently late. It's annoying. You want to evict them. So you could go for a 10 or an 11. Now, here's what the key information you need to know. If they are, say, 3-4 months late, don't just think, serious arrears, I'm going to take them to... Serve a section 8 on ground 8 seriously late. Because what they can then do is pay.
Yes.
So let's say they're 4 months behind and then they go, right, here's 6 weeks rent then. Now I'm only 2.5 months behind.
Then
they could do it on the day or the day before your court case and now you'd lose in court.
See, that I think is ridiculous. I think if at any point you've been 3 months behind, the court should stand you've got the right to evict.
At any point.
3 months is a long time not to pay.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
That person, like you say, they're not going to get let off. Like if they said, and you can be let off paying for 3 months and you don't have to pay your mortgage if the tenant's not paying, but they're not. So therefore, I don't think it's fair. If you've been 3 months, the court order should stand. You should be able to get rid of them. I think that's a joke.
I agree.
Because people are going to play that, aren't they? People, the day before it goes to court, they're going to just... Give them a bit of money.
Well, here's your loophole around it. When you take them to court, when you serve your notice, say I'm serving 8, I'm serving 10, and I'm serving 11 all at the same time. So that way, if they pay up to date, your case isn't thrown out because now you're saying summer arrears persistently late.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that is summer arrears and persistent late is now at the discretion of the judge.
Okay, yeah, it's
whereas serious arrears is mandatory. If you go and they're 3 months behind, it's mandatory. The big issue I've got with this, and the reason I've never actually used a Section 8, bear in mind, I used to run a letting agency.
Yeah.
So I've had hundreds and hundreds of tenants. I've evicted hundreds, well, probably not hundreds, but I've evicted tens, 20, I don't know how many, but a lot of tenants I've evicted. Never used a Section 8, always used a Section 21, even when they were seriously behind. The reason being, now I've got to take them to court. Now I've got to go through the court process. Now I've got to prove it. All this faff.
Yeah.
And with a Section 21, you don't need any of that. It's just done. It is what it is.
I don't really see why they thought this was sensible, to be honest. Because it has given the tenants a little bit more, like, you know, look at us, there's more rights for the tenants. But we're already snowed under in this country with the court system. Now they're basically going, oh, let's just get loads of more people going to court. But, like, unnecessarily. It's like there should just be a system, shouldn't there?
The mandatory stuff, I agree. It should just be like, yeah, you can fast track this. Doesn't have to go to court. Well, there is. We'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah. All right. Next, serious antisocial behaviour or criminal behaviour.
Yeah.
7A, mandatory. If you'd want your police references, any convictions and stuff you can take on. But if you can prove that, mandatory. Just normal antisocial behaviour, not serious.
Just normal.
Just a little bit of antisocial behaviour.
What does that even mean, a little bit of antisocial behaviour?
Well, it doesn't say that. It just says, so serious antisocial behaviour is mandatory. Just antisocial behaviour is discretionary. So it's kind of up to the judge. Examples would be things like, you might, rather than a police reference, you'd get like witnesses or neighbour statements or proof of repairs in the property. Like, they're damaging my property here.
Yeah.
Here are the repairs
I've
got to pay.
But not actual criminal offence.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Just a bit of antisocial.
No right to rent, mandatory. And this is actually only a 2-week notice you've got to give as well. So if they're renting your property and they don't have the right to rent in the country, bang, 2 weeks.
Gone.
Well, it won't be because you've got to go to court. 6 months waiting
Six
for court.
6 years.
Then they give them 2 weeks and then another 8 weeks to actually, when they don't move out, to enforce it. if you want to redevelop your property, mandatory, 4 months notice.
Okay.
If the mortgage is, so if you don't pay, And then the mortgage company's taking your property off you. So if you don't pay your mortgage and the property's being repossessed, you can kick them out 4 months' notice. It'd be more the mortgage company's benefit, really, than yours.
Yeah.
But there you go. So they're the main things, really, for the eviction. So this is quite a big one, really, because the main way we evict tenants at the moment is Section 21. That is gone. You now need to either prove you're selling it, you're moving back in, or your family's moving back in, or one of the faults is it's going to go through the court process.
You can't just get rid because one day you thought, oh, they annoy me a bit, they ring a bit too often.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get rid of them.
Yeah.
There's got to be. Which, on the whole, I do kind of agree with that. I kind of think you shouldn't be able to just willy-nilly mess with people's lives and just think, nah, they weren't totally my cup of tea. Like, I think they do need some stability. And if they haven't done anything wrong and you're not moving back and you just think, I want my friend Joe to move in instead. I do think they have the right to not be kicked out.
To be honest, most of this stuff, the only one I don't like is the Section 21. Well, I say that. I might notice other stuff as I go through, as I remind myself. But most of the other stuff, I'm like, it's kind of, as a tenant, it's kind of fair enough. I'm not too bothered about it. And as a landlord, I'm not too bothered. I don't think it's like ridiculously unfair on the landlords either. So as a landlord, I'm not particularly bothered about it either. Anyway, number four, rent changes. So here, there's some changes to rent and how that works. There's a few things that are coming in. So the first is, you can now only raise the rent, one rent review per year, via something called a Section 13. So we'll get to that in a second. There's a ban on bidding wars.
Yeah.
And there's a cap on rent in advance. You know, a lot of landlords, we've done this before, actually, where they've asked for 6 months rent up front or whatever. So right now, you can basically increase the rent kind of when you want, the end of the contract, because it's a contractual base at the moment. And you can accept above asking offers. We, again, have had this.
We've had all of these, to be fair.
Yeah. And several months up front, you can ask for, I want 6 months up front or whatever.
I think all of them are fair enough.
Fair enough to scrap it or fair enough as they are?
Like fair enough to scrap them.
Yeah, I'm not too bothered either way on these. As a tenant, it can be a bit annoying. But also, what about, so when we bid on, do you remember the, Clark Hayes Farm?
Yeah.
We bid over the asking price.
Yeah, because we wanted it.
Because we wanted it. See, I like the flexibility to be able to do that.
But then it's not fair on people, is it?
Why not? Supply and demand. Why is it not fair? If I want to pay more for something, why is that not fair?
I don't know. I just feel a bit like...
If you were selling anything else, if you were selling a car...
We were in a position where we could pay more.
Well, great. Well, then we deserve it. How else do you decide who to give it to?
Yeah, but there's already the difference in... like price, isn't there? There's, say you're looking and there's all these houses for 700, there's 800, there's 900, and then you think, oh, I'm in the bracket of 900, and then you go and then it's like, oh no, you've outbid someone's.
But here's the thing, right? If you put it on the market and 10 people apply for it and go, oh, we want it, that would tell me, crap, I put it on too cheap.
No, but I don't agree. If there wasn't a shortage of houses, I'd agree. But when there's a shortage of houses, just getting people, like, it's almost a little bit to then get people to fight to pay more to... Because they're basically...
But even if this, right, if let's say we bid more for that house and we got it, great. I like the option to be able to do that if I want. If it shows how much I think it's worth. How do you value anything? You value it by what someone's prepared to pay for it.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying, but I just think if that's the price and that's the price it's set at, that's the price you should get it at. I personally don't think you should be able to bid on it. I think that's... like the price it is, the price they want.
I'm not too bothered either way, but I just don't understand why. Like I can't think of the rationale. Like, what's the issue with it? Because at the end, no one's forcing the tenant. No one's going to the tenant. You have to.
If no one bids high, it's just going to go, yeah.
In the same way you can bid, how come you can bid less? Why does it work that way around?
Can you rent it?
Of course, you can offer whatever you want, can't you?
You can, but we've never... bid under, have we? Which house did we bid under?
We got Jordan's Way. We negotiated it down and they hiked it up once we...
like massively after 6 months or something. Oh yeah, and we moved out.
See, that I'm more... Okay, let's move on to the next one then. So the rent review once per year. I'm in favour of that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be putting it up more than once a year.
No, it's not fair, is it? Because you move in, like what? Why would you suddenly after 3 months be able to afford more? Most people rent what they can actually afford and... to them, like literally, if they say they don't want people to move out, every time our rent has been raised, we've moved out. And I've said that multiple times on this podcast. Like every time the landlord's gone, I want to raise the rent, we've moved out.
Yeah.
Because we've looked around, looked for better and thought, no, we can get more for our money elsewhere. So I think raising the rent all the time is a very dangerous game both ways. Because I think if you do it too often as a landlord, you do get people move out. And I also think it's really unfair on the tenant. So I like that rule.
I like it. So let me, a couple of questions that I asked and these answers I got back. So what exactly is a Section 13? How do I use it? It's the standard legal notice for raising rents on your AST. Under the new system, it's the only way to increase the rent. Once a year, you serve the Section 13 notice with the new amount and you need to give them 2 months notice. If the tenant doesn't challenge it, that's the new rent and they pay it.
Yeah.
If they challenge it, there'll be a tribunal that will set the market rent and they'll basically assess it and they'll go, look, so if you don't agree, basically it will go to this tribunal, they'll look at it and they'll go, right, we think that, you know, this is the fair market value right now and they'll determine what it is. I'm actually happy with all of that.
I am, other than I wonder how long that would take, the process of that would actually take. Say you wanted to up your rent, they say no, which who wouldn't challenge it? Who goes, yeah.
Well, if you thought it was fair,
okay, but
if you could look at it and you go, yeah, to be fair, like if they upped it by 5% or something and you go, yeah, that's fair.
But do you know what I mean? A lot of people never like having a rent increase. A lot of people will take the opportunity to challenge it, especially if they know it's going to take 8 months to go through the court system.
Well, this won't go to court.
Okay.
So this will be a tribunal, like
So how long will that process take?
This is the problem, isn't it? It sounds great in
principle,
theory.
But if that takes 8 months, everyone's going to dispute it and think, "Wow, gets me 8 months." Even if you don't really care about it, it gives me 8 months to pay the lesser. the lesser amount.
I agree. And then the other thing is you can't take months up front. So you used to be able to take, you know, 6 months. Some people have 12 months up front, you know, and you could take rent up front.
You can now only
take 1 month up front.
I never understood that, how people could demand that. And again, we've had that. We've never demanded that ever as a landlord, but we have, I can only remember, have we had it once or twice? But I remember the once, we paid 6 months. And then after 6 months, he was like, "You've got to pay another 6 months." And we were like, no. We never said that. We said we'd pay 6 months and then go on a rolling contract. And he was like, no. And because we were like disputing it, he served us our notice, didn't he?
Yeah.
I couldn't
I want to be biased towards the landlords, but honestly, there's so many landlords that are just dicks.
Yeah. So I'm a bit torn both ways because... I've had landlords that are complete dickheads.
And sometimes you look at it and you go, you shouldn't need this, but the amount of dick landlords that there are, I kind of understand why. So here's another one. This is to sort of try and get rid of rogue landlords. So they're creating a new national landlord register, the PRS database.
Yep.
So every landlord has got to create a profile on the portal, register each property that they let, upload and confirm the key documents such as the proof of the deposit being done properly, the gas and electrical safety certificate, the EPC, license numbers, blah, your repair history. All this will need to go on the platform. So this is the idea of this, really, is to get rid of rogue landlords that don't do any of this stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a bit of a faff. I'd rather it didn't exist because it's more paperwork.
That's all I was thinking. I was thinking, don't love paperwork.
I imagine that you'll be able to get your estate agent to do a lot of this for you.
Although certainly, suddenly companies will come out, won't they? Do you want us to do your...
They'll offer it. I'm sure they will.
So if you really don't want to do it...
Fail to do it though, big penalty. Ooh. $7,000 fine for your first breach, rising to $40,000 fine for repeat or serious breaches.
Oh, wow. So if it really looks like you're trying to avoid...
Also, if you try and evict someone and you've not... This is the sort of thing I don't like. If you try and evict someone under a Section 8 and you've not done this properly, you'll lose the court case.
Yeah.
This is where... See, I don't like stuff like that. Like technicalities. It's like, look, okay, I forgot to put the gas safety certificate on there. They haven't paid rent for 4 months and I can't evict them because that's where it kind of pisses me off a little bit.
And then they'll be like, well, you can come back in like 8 months when you can get back the next court date. Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes they tip it too far, don't they?
Yeah.
Into like trying to penalise the landlords. And I'm not really for that. But I can kind of get why they want everyone to register the properties. And
yeah,
it is a bit faffy, but I don't think it's awful.
Here's another one. So decent home standard, number 6.
Yeah.
Two things coming in. So number one, decent home standard. So they're going to give a clear baseline for what you want your property to be like in terms of repair. Is it, does it have the right facilities? Is it warm enough even? And you hear about people that are living in cold properties that don't.
Unless there's a clause in there that's really unreasonable where it's like, they've got to have, do you know what I mean? It's got to be absolute luxury accommodation.
I like this.
That's fair enough. Like, why would you want to rent out a place and make someone live in like squalor?
My only worry is sometimes this sort of stuff could be abused.
Yeah.
So they've also, they're going to put timelines in there to fix serious hazards. So for example, damp, mold. It's like you've got to fix it within a certain time period. And again, do you remember the first place we ever rented and it had we were like 18, 19, it had mold. We moved in and we were like, oh, it came through like immediately, like obviously painted over it, and they refused to fix it. And after our year we moved, we're like, I don't want to live somewhere with mold
because it's like hazardous. It's really bad for you. And I think that is awful that they were allowed to just go, nah, like when it's actually a health hazard. So I think everyone, if you're renting out property, yeah, it needs to be up to standard. Like, it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a health hazard. There shouldn't be where, like, do you know what I mean? If it's cold and, you know, some person's like, they're shivering in the evening, no, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I think people have the right to have a basic standard of living, don't they? They, you know, and I think if landlords have a problem with that, then that's on them.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of these rules sound good in principle.
Yeah. Scares me what they will actually,
how they're actually
going
to do. So the council are getting new powers. Now, I don't like the councils. I think the councils tend to be slow. They tend to, so they're going to get new consumer style. They can sort of investigate your situation. These new powers will allow them to enter into premises. You know, if the tenant wants them to come and look, they can go without your permission.
Well, the council can.
The council can, and they can do civil penalties. They can do all sorts. It's not exactly clear exactly what it's going to look like, but they're going to be given new powers where they can come in and give penalties to landlords on which.
I don't like the sound of that.
Not really a big fan.
I mean, I can only assume if you are just a good landlord doing a good job, they won't have the time or the resources to go after people who are actually good landlords, because they're snowed under anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I only assume they'll come and get you if you are a bad landlord, but you never know with these things, do you? Because everyone goes on a big power trip, don't they?
Yeah.
And it can, and what you find with sometimes the council, and especially if you're in land development, you do learn, like there's always been this thing with development, oh, make sure you're in with the councils. And I always used to think, oh, that's so silly, that is. Like, that's on films. But there is a real truth to that.
Yeah.
And they do have vendettas, and they do. So if you piss off your local council, they might come for you. And that would concern me with that rule, that if you pissed off and for some reason you upset George down the pub, and he's part of the council, and then he finds out you own six houses in the area, he might just go and
Look at how corrupt they are with the planning.
Yeah,
and
he
how
might
bad
just come and have a little look to see if he can slap you on a little penalty.
I agree. Here's another one I don't like. A rent repayment order. So this is for the tenant to reclaim rent. Now, at the moment, the maximum they're allowed to reclaim is 12 months. This is going to go up to 24 months.
Yeah.
And at the moment, they've got 12 months within the offence to claim it. They've now got 24 months within the offence to claim it. So this is for example, let's say, and you hear examples of this where I heard one, there was a landlord, HMO landlord, and the tenants didn't pay for ages, refused to pay. He took them to court. They had paid for a couple of years and they just stopped paying.
Yep.
He took them to court. And then they found out he hadn't got the proper licence on the property. So they, rather than him getting the money from them, he had to repay them the rent they had previously paid.
Wow.
So if you've got like an unlicensed HMO,
yep.
If you unlawfully evict them, they can then reclaim rent. If you breach improvement or improvement notices, so there's different stuff like that that you can do. I never like this because I think if you've lived there, again, it's sort of technicality type stuff, and now you're getting, what, 12 months rent? Yeah, that could be like,
well, I mean,
someone's paying £2,000 a month, 24 grand.
It could cripple people, couldn't it?
Yeah. And it's up to 24 months rent. That could be 48 grand in rent you have to pay back because you didn't get the right license.
Yeah.
And I mean, what would Rachel Reeves think of that? She didn't get the right license.
Yeah.
Right now. And she's, a little apology. That's fine. But these landlords are going to be getting hit with 48 grand fines.
They can't just do, say sorry. Like, yeah. And the half of me thinks, just do a good job. Set it up correctly. This won't apply. But there is just human error, isn't there? Like,
yeah.
If you've got a lot of properties and you're just not up to date on one thing, and then they can take you to court to get 12, like, I do think the tenants should have rights. But then there's always going to be the ones that are just out to get anything they can. And they could have lived there for 2 years, loved it, everything. And
I can imagine someone like doing stuff like moving in, knowing you haven't got the right license, living there for 2 years.
And then being like,
and then move out and reclaim 2 years rent. I could just see it. And people taking the mickey.
Yeah, they're opening the door there.
I suppose as your landlord, it's like you've got, it should just highlights really the importance of getting things like the licensing correct.
Yeah.
But I can see it's not, to me, that's not fair the other way. If you've lived there and you've benefited from it, you don't deserve, if you're not happy, raise the complaint now and move out. Yeah. Or don't move in the first place. If this, if it's not right.
But why should you have 2 years to think about it?
And then 2 years rent repaid. It's a joke. 10% compensation of your rent you paid, maybe.
But yeah, I'm not keen on that.
Ridiculous. All right, number 9, discrimination bans. Oh, we can no longer discriminate.
Oh,
how annoying.
Well, that's wrecked my day.
So if they've got children, you can't discriminate against them. Or if they're DSS, you can't discriminate against them. That has been outlawed. I've just put together a free training teaching you how to build wealth through property. I'm going to be breaking down the strategies that made me a multi-millionaire property investor and how you can do exactly the same. Link down below. Check it out. It's totally free. What are you waiting for? So discrimination against children and DSS, you cannot, it's illegal to discriminate against them. So you, I don't think you can even kind of ask the question, like, do they have kids or not?
What?
Well, I imagine that you can discriminate against the numbers of people that live and not discriminate. But I imagine you could sort of... Yeah, because, you, like, for example, what about if you had a normal house and I said, I want to move in 20 people?
Yeah, so there's still like a... But, and I'm guessing you could take a wild guess. So if it was like that and it was like, there's 3 of us moving in, and it's a young couple, you're going to assume, okay, they've got a child. So you're going to be able to take a reasonable guess if they've got children.
So you can still refuse an applicant, but it must be objective and not discriminating against them because of that reason.
But how would they possibly know that?
Well, for example, the DSS, you could say they don't meet the affordability ratio.
But do you know how you were talking about the bidding wars and how you can outbid each other? Then why on earth... Like, would they know if you thought, oh, no, that's a family?
Well, they've still got to pass the checks, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not about checks, though, is it?
If so you can't say no children, you can't say adults only, so you can't say not suitable for families.
Yeah, so I get it. So all those people can put in the applications, yeah, because you can't say no families. So they all come through, but you can see that clearly some of them are families because in this case, 2 people want to move in, but in this case... 5 people want to move in. Oh, it doesn't take, you know, like...
But you could say, for example, so if it's a one-bed flat, you could say, well, that's not suitable for a family of 5. We're only prepared to take 2
Okay, but two can
people.
I finish what I'm saying? So say there's a 3-bed house, though, but for some reason you don't like the idea of kids being in it because you just think, ugh, I just want it to be like... So 10 different people pass... all the checks. You can't say, oh, no, they didn't pass the check. And you know then when they pick you, it's not going to take too much of a genius to really work out who has and hasn't got kids. So they
Shall I ask ChatGPT?
They can discriminate anyway, can't they?
Let's ask ChatGPT. So I've just put it in. So what would happen then if I've got a 3-bed flat up and then when I come to pick... the person that moves into the property, I literally just pick people that have only got 2 people on their application so I can avoid having kids without avoiding having kids.
Because that would be my...
That's how you'd break the law.
You what?
That's how you're admitting to breaking the law.
No, but I don't care. Our properties, we let kids in. But I know people are funny about it. And I'm just saying, how does that actually stop it? Okay, you can't put on the advert, no children. But... how are they actually going to man that you don't? You're just not going to pick the applicants with children, are you?
I think you probably could do that, but it's possible that if the family said, "Oh, he didn't pick us because we were a family. We were actually a great."
But how would they possibly know that, though?
One thing that I found really interesting is that 78% of viewers of this channel aren't actually subscribers. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes or any new property news, please do like and subscribe. It also really helps our channel grow. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Back to the show.
I just think, how can they really man that?
Well, I think, one way is you can't put it on the ad. You can't be shown, you can't be seen to be doing it. So it makes it a bit more difficult.
Clearly can be doing it, can't you?
Next, pets.
Not that I want to do it. I love families.
You can't unreasonably refuse pets, but you can ask for insurance.
I mean, that's fair enough.
And you're right. I know our dog has unfortunately just passed away, but we did have that problem whenever we were moving.
15 years.
15 years of finding it difficult to find places that accepted dogs.
Because so many places said no pets. And again, I see it from both points of view because pets are like they, especially if you've got, like someone who gets a puppy, it's like, ooh, chewed the skirting boards. Ooh, done this, done that. They've weed and pooed in the house. They've, pets are a bit, ugh. And I don't love the idea of renting. Like, even though I used to get miffed by I also don't particularly want people to bring pets into our property. So I always understood it. But I think if you get insurance, I think that's fair enough and maybe a bigger deposit.
As long as they have to put it back to the condition it was in before.
Yeah, I think then it is what it is. But like, for example, they could trash the garden, couldn't they? Dog poo everywhere. It is a bit grimy. But for me, it was a real pain renting. I mean, we used to, we tell him he was just a family dog, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which so, he kind of was. He always used to have to move in with the in-laws.
But like, for example, our property in Lichfield, that hasn't got a back garden. So we could refuse there. Because we could say, it hasn't got a back garden.
That's not appropriate,
that's not
is it?
That's unreasonably refusing.
A flat. I'm guessing you can't move your three big
Great
Danes into
You can say no. But if you've got a house like this right now.
Yeah. It'd be very hard to
very
justify.
Very hard to say no. Why? To be fair, though, I found a lot of the bigger houses don't, because a lot of people have dogs, they don't refuse it anyway. So what do you think overall of the changes? They're the 10 changes that we've just gone through right now. Like, what do you think? Is it bad news for landlords? Would you be worried if you're a landlord?
I would be worried if I was a bit of a dodgy landlord, yeah.
If you're a dodgy landlord?
If you were doing stuff on the, then I would be. I don't think it's that bad. Other than, like you say, where does some of the things lie when it actually comes in? So the one I really don't like is the one where they can trip you up. Like if you do anything slight,
they can get the rent back.
Yeah, I don't like that one because I think there's, at the end of the day, in any job, anything, there's human error, isn't there? And I think,
and if Rachel Reeves messes up her licensing agreement,
but can just say sorry, I think other people should be allowed to. I don't like that one.
I agree.
A lot of them, I think, is fair enough. I think be a good landlord. And again, it'll be interesting to see like exact how much the council, are they going to start just becoming?
I'll be interested to see how this ombudsman works and this register works. Yeah. Like when they investigate, are they quick? Are they on it? Or is it slow and going through the court case? Because what would be really good is if the ombudsman looked at everything.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to go to court. They would decide. As long as they're good, if they could decide, if you could show them and look, 3 months arrears, and they just go, let's check. Yes, it is.
Oh, then it would be brilliant.
It'd be great.
If you didn't have to spend months waiting to go to court, then I wouldn't really have a problem with any of it, really. It's just that you know it's never as simple as that. It's going to be really long-winded. I think that's the problem. But if I was a good landlord, well, which I am.
If I was a good landlord, I'm crapping it. If I was a good landlord, I'd be okay.
But quicker. But it's like, the house needs to be up to a reasonable standard. Oh, yeah. Like, it should be.
And you know what? There are so many, as someone who's been rented most of my life, as well as being a landlord, there are so many bad landlords. Yeah. So overall, I'm not, there's a couple of things I don't really like, but I don't think this is like a great shakes. I'm not worried.
No.
As a landlord, I'm not, oh no.
And I think if you're really stressing, then maybe you should take a look at yourself and think maybe you're not that good a landlord.
There you go. That's how we're going to end. Guys, see you next week.